Fortune tanto vulnera, simila tipus ocelis, potiu amici vulnera, sutra di prebelis.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
As negative as this news is, it's good to know about a problem so you can deal with it. Anybody that works with me knows you can make mistakes, you can do whatever, but if you don't tell me about a problem, you cover up something, you're fired. I want to meet stuff head on. I want to know about the problem now. I don't want to live in la-la land. And you've got Nick Fuentes and all these other great people out there that just continue to explode with the truth and their authenticity. And look, the Daily Wire had billions, probably 2 billion put into it by big Zionists out of Frisco, Texas, north of Dallas. Totally financed, force fed everything. All the biggest talk radio stations given to him. He didn't have good ratings 5 years ago. It was force fed. And now they lay off a year ago half their employees, and a few weeks ago the other half, so it's 25%. That's just a vestigial thing they left up there as a face saver, like CNN or anything. It's a joke. It's like, why even criticize Colbert or Trump? He has like a million viewers. It's something to talk about. I mean, you know, Nick can like point a camera at his house at the paint drying where people watch that. Same with me. And so Trump's a boomer, though. He's 80 years old. He doesn't understand all this. He goes on with Elon Musk. It's a billion listeners. In one interview, he doesn't think to do it again. He's like, oh, podcasting's starting to grow. Someday it'll give a run to mainstream media. So boomers, and I'm not against them. My parents are boomers. They're more awake than most boomers, but they are in their own world on average. They have no idea that the world has moved on. So you got to get more positive about it. You know, Ben Shapiro, media empire is collapsing. It already collapsed. But that said, the death throes of this system is what I'm worried about. You got Hegseth campaigning against Massey. And you got CBS News like, are you anti-Semitic? Like it's some magic word. Let me explain something to people that get mad at me for not wearing a Hitler uniform or whatever. If I wore a Hitler uniform and I literally said Heil Hitler, my show would explode. It would be the biggest ever. And the Israel lobby would actually boost it because that's the stereotype they want. When I did that joke 6 months ago or whatever, because I was trimming my beard, not paying attention, and literally cut off the side of it. And I went, and then my personal trainer came over to the house as we were going to go for a hike and do push-ups and sit-ups. It was like a golf course behind my house. He goes, you ought to do a joke to the Hitler thing. So I did it. I literally, after that workout, went to the grocery stores. We worked out like 6 a.m. And I literally had women throwing themselves at me. And you've seen footage in like other countries where a guy dresses like Hitler and the women are all over him. People want the bad guy, okay, right now. They want whatever they see as the opposite of the thing. And I didn't do that I didn't know that would happen. I mean, it was like, it was absolutely insane, guys. When I was a bald-headed Adolf Hitler for just a day, what happened? My point is, I am not trying to mediate and don't want total war with Israel because I'm afraid of the Jewish lobby. They've been trying to put me in jail. The ADL 4 years ago called for my arrest at their gala with Sacha Baron Cohen. I'm worried about this being the total focus and like, because the Israel lobby wants to conjure this to play victim to get all the rich Jews, give them all their money. This is a setup. But that said, looking at Massey, here's a clip from CBS News just yesterday where, again, like the magic word, ooh, abracadabra. I mean, Massey is a liberal when it comes to race and stuff. Massey is always like Rand Paul or Ron Paul, but against all foreign aid. And so when you use this anti-Semitic thing on people all day, it doesn't just make them not care anymore. I can tell you with the general public that if you wore a Hugo Boss uniform and a Hitler mustache, women would start having spontaneous orgasms in front of you. So people want the opposite of what they got, so they then swing to this other thing that's Hitler, kind of like Kanye and all that. Here's a clip of Massey.
Are you anti-Semitic?
They're trying to tell you that it's anti-Semitic for me to expose the fact that the Republican Jewish Coalition has spent millions of dollars in this race, that a dual citizen, Miriam Adelson, who even Trump says is more loyal to Israel than the United States, has spent millions of dollars in this race. Those are mere facts. And it's
okay,
really...
It's a yes or no. Are you anti-Semitic or
not? Oh, hell no. Okay. I'm hell no. Anti-Semitic. But here's the danger that AIPAC runs. They've been too cute by a half. They've tried to get Mike Johnson, and he's willingly done this, conflate in resolutions on the House floor that anti-Zionism equals anti-Semitism. Or even worse yet, that if you don't support Benjamin Netanyahu's war in Gaza, then you're anti-Semitic. That's absolutely false, and it does Jewish Americans a big disfavor to equate the two.
I mean, this is insane. Now let's get, and Nick makes a good point, because this is like everybody that's rich and powerful, the royalty, you name it. But, I mean, you look at the rich Jews that have had five, six generations of wealth, and, I mean, I've seen them on TV. I've been around them. They're like retarded, like any other super rich people. I mean, Adelson and all of them are just retarded. And they're all bullying their own cult. Sorry, I didn't give more money. Adelson said before he died, sorry, I wasn't born in Israel. Oh, God, I'll give you everything I got. It's all just like the Muslims. They just get more and more radical, more and more crazy, more and more, you know, in their cult. Here's a clip, and we'll go to Nick Fuentes on this, of Hegseth campaigning the Pentagon with this clown. And by the way, they keep saying it's $13 million. I looked it up. It's over $20 million we know from Israel lobby. The most expensive congressional thing ever. That's just on top of it. I mean, what? So they can win this, they can steal this, but it backfires big time. I want to get Nick's take on that, but here's Hegseth. Our military actively involved domestically in our politics. This is illegal as hell.
President Trump does not need more people in Washington who are trying to make a point, especially from his own party. He needs people willing to help him win, to vote with him when it matters the most. And too often, Thomas Massie has acted like his job is to stand apart from the movement that President Trump leads instead of strengthening it.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth making a detour from the Pentagon to the campaign trail on Monday, campaigning for Ed Gallrein. He's the Republican running against Thomas Massie here in Kentucky. It was very unusual to see a defense secretary actually campaigning. Oh, yeah. He said he was doing it in his personal capacity, which is allowed by law, but unusual because, of course, this is the time of war. But Congressman Thomas Massie is one of the biggest critics of the Iran war.
A sustained war with Iran will not stabilize the region. It's already ignited the region.
And Hegseth used that as a rationale for why he believes it's time to defeat Massie and elect Gallrein.
And that's what warfighters do. They stand behind leaders and have their back. And they understand that in the middle of a fight, you don't weaken your own side. You advance to the objective.
Now, there's no doubt this is one of the most expensive House primaries in the country. But Hegseth coming here to Kentucky to deliver the president's personal support for Gallrein, and most importantly, why he believes Kentucky voters should send Massie out of office.
Okay, so let's stop right there. When the left said last year and this year that Trump was preparing to use the military against us with ICE, and it was illegal and don't follow orders, that was pure crap. But never, and I've looked it up, never has a defense secretary gone around and campaigned. We elect people, they fund the military, and the military follows the president's order. You don't run around as Secretary of Defense speaking out against elected representatives and campaigning against them. This is the military directly involved in our politics, not just the CIA running all these Navy SEALs. So this is so dangerous and so wrong, and that's why when I saw that, I said, that's it. Whatever they got to do, he's not winning tonight, in my view, barring a miracle. Or if he does win, they're going to kill him. I'm not saying Hegseth this. I'm just saying the Israel lobby. What do you think the Nick point is? I'm going to shut up. Thanks for letting me rant.
Well, you're totally right. It's a total breakdown in the checks and balances. And people don't usually think of it in those terms, but Thomas Massie is in the House. The House has the power of the purse. The House is what funds the military. Now you have the leader of the Pentagon interfering in a House race. So you're right. This is all backwards.
This is like your dog growling at you and biting you at the dinner table because you don't give it your steak.
Yeah, it's something like that. I mean, I think the analogy to rework it, it would be even worse than that. I mean, it's a horrible situation. And, you know, here's the thing. What's funny about this, it's so obvious what is going on. This is the most expensive race in terms of ad spend in history, they say. Most expensive primary. It's $32 million in total just in ads. I think $20 million purely from the Israel lobby for Gallrein. And we all know why that is. It's because Thomas Massie is the most vocal critic of the Israel lobby in Congress, and specifically in the Republican conference, in the Republican Party in the House. He voted against foreign aid, voted for release of the Epstein files, voted in favor of the War Powers Resolution against the Iran war, and he called out AIPAC and their handlers on Tucker Carlson's show. What's interesting, though, and I said this on my show, is that they're now all trying to make this about Trump. Even if you watch Pete Hegseth's speech, he says, well, why is Thomas Massie a problem? He is not with the team. He's not supporting Trump in a time of war. He's not voting with our movement.
That's right. They're deflecting to Trump. And does he have the power to run the party when in really it's all about Israel?
Exactly. They're hiding behind him. And the press is letting them do that because that line is coming from the White House and the Israel lobby. They're trying to basically guilt trip or bully everybody and say, oh, if you're with Thomas Massie, you're against Trump. If you're not, or rather, here's the other thing. So Massie did not vote for the big, beautiful bill. The big, beautiful bill allocated $200 billion for DHS to do ICE, border wall, deportations. So now they're trying to say, No. It's got nothing to do with Israel or the Israel lobby or AIPAC. They're saying, no, it's about border security, which is like the most dishonest inversion. They're not only saying it's not about Israel. They're saying actually it's about the border. So if you're for Thomas Massie, you're not for the border and Trump's border policies and all this kind of stuff. And I want to point out, I made this point on my show last night. This is the most damning thing you can hear. In 2024, you had Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley trying to primary Trump for the presidential nomination. If you recall, Trump was being raided at Mar-a-Lago, got indicted in New York and Georgia by the DOJ. And I seem to recall that Miriam Adelson and the RJC and AIPAC, the whole Israel lobby, they were all behind DeSantis from the very beginning. So DeSantis was their first choice. And then when it was clear that he had a failure to launch by June, let's say, of 2023, then they started to rally around Nikki Haley by the fall of 2023. And they were going to have her win second place in New Hampshire. And then she was going to win her home state of South Carolina. And then she was going to take it to the convention. It was only at the very end, when it was clear that Haley and DeSantis would not win, that they fell in line behind Trump. So wait a second. You're telling me AIPAC, RJC, Paul Singer, Miriam Adelson, they poured $20 million plus into this race to punish Massie for his disloyalty to Trump. Well, where was all that loyalty to Trump when he needed it the most during the primary in 23 and 24? It doesn't even make sense.
But it goes back even further to all of them, the Ben Shapiros and the Mark Levins were all, and Lindsey Graham, all never Trumpers in 2016.
And that was 10 years ago, exactly. So literally from the beginning, from 16, 15, all the way through to a couple of years ago, there's no loyalty to Trump. There's no loyalty to Trump among the neocons, the Israel lobby, Jewish lobby. It just isn't there. But that is now going to be the narrative. And I read this in the New York Times yesterday, and NBC and all the other papers, they're all saying this election is a referendum on Trump. And that, mark my words, tomorrow's news today or tonight's news this afternoon, that is going to be the narrative they go with. They're going to say, and it looks like in the betting markets, Gallerine, they say, has a 60% chance of winning.
Yeah,
if he wins, that's what they're all going to say. They're going to say this was a referendum on whether Trump has influence over the party. Thomas Massie lost. That means Trump is still the top dog. And of course, everybody knows the clear subtext is it's all about the Israel lobby. So, you know, there's layers to
CNN
the deception.
CNN is an audience of one, and so is Fox. They literally tell people that, where they have the fake polls. 100% of Trump supporters support the Iran war. Trump is literally lapping this up. In fact, that's what I was told by a bunch of insiders, not just Tucker, but others. They used to fight in the different lobbies, and there was kind of a fight early on, and he didn't know how things worked, and it was kind of Trump, but he had all these groups against him, and the Obamas, the Clintons, and the CIA. Israel kind of went with them. Netanyahu went with them, congratulated Biden, the first foreign leader to do it, and they stole the election 2021. Then they came into the rescue when Trump was indicted and all that the last year and said, we'll get behind you and pulling up the media money. Suddenly Trump saw kind of the media soften some. And I think just out of survival, I agree, it's not even the Epstein thing. Trump just said, I'm throwing in the towel, I'm going with this group. And Israel's got designs, not just on controlling foreign policy, they want control of the whole country. They're bragging about it. That's why I finally just said, and I've always been measured and criticized Israel when they need it, but I didn't want to make this the whole, you know, shooting match. It is right now. It's not just that Israel's the number one threat to the country now. It is by light years, it is existential that this is out of control, and it is a rogue, insane group with wild eyes saying we declare war on Europe. I mean, it's just cuckoo town. So knowing how crazed and arrogant, bravado, hubris-filled, chutzpah-filled Israel is right now, what's going to happen here? Here's what I'm saying. I know how these people operate. And with Netanyahu in charge of 9/11, clearly, they're going to false flag our ass. The way they say, oh, nukes are going to go off. I think they're going to set a nuke off in New York or Chicago and literally say that, or Austin, Texas. If I was them, and I don't think like them. My vision is that theirs, but I can get in their heads. I think they've already got a nuke probably inside the U.S., Nick. Or they'll hit Israel. Maybe they blow up an Israeli city or something. I'm serious.
I hope that's not the case, but you can never rule it out because that is exactly how they operate. That's how they've operated for. I mean, what Mossad's motto is, Israeli intelligence, their motto is by way of deception. So that is literally baked into the cake. They also say we'll rise and kill them first. So this is and always has been how they operate. And here's the way that I see it. And I think we're on the same page on this. They seem to be going down in flames right now. Netanyahu's going to face this re-election.
This is why they'll do the false flag.
Right. Well, and the Iran war is not panning out. And so you have to ask yourself this question. They've come this far. And you think about the stakes for them, what they have to lose. Because right now, wild eyes, ambitious is how you have to look at it. They're talking about world domination. So do you think they're going to let this little play, this once and for all attack against Iran, they're going to let the window of opportunity close,
no.
Shrug their shoulders, throw their hands up and say, oh, well, you know, we tried it. We tried to win. Guess we didn't get it.
No, that's the talking point. They said, we will not let this window close.
Exactly. So how are they going to restart that momentum? Well, how did this whole thing get started? October 7th. October 7th was a stand down order. And that pretext has been the rolling justification for everything. Lebanon, Gaza, the Houthis, Iran, the whole enchilada. So what it clearly suggests is that there's going to be another little triggering event, another little pretext where they're going to get another round of momentum.
So let me get your guesstimation. Let me get your dead right reckoning. Does Israel hit itself or do they hit us?
I think they hit us or Europe.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's the play because that's the only thing that's going to get the U.S. to do what needs to be done in Iran, which is a ground war, a nuke. You know, clearly the stalemate is a result of the U.S. has no good military options in Iran that the public will support right
now.
Yeah,
having
that's
some
the important
Muslim
caveat.
Drive a truck bomb into a synagogue ain't going to cut it. Israel's going to go big. In fact, people ask how these predictions, I get so much data, and then it just comes to me. I think Israel's getting ready to nuke us. They're declaring war on Europe. You're right. They might want to teach Europe and say Iran, it won't make any sense, but they'll just nuke Paris.
Well, and that'll get Europe behind them. That'll get the U.S. behind them. They will create a climate of fear and terror, which is, I believe they are a satanic force. That is how they operate. They will create a climate of fear and terror where the only option will be the whole world uniting against Iran. Yeah. U.S. can't do it alone.
Yeah, if I'm like a computer that just works on something, because the subconscious is way more powerful than the conscious, and I'm just, what pops out is false flag, nuclear false flag, danger, danger. I'm just like, all the lights are flashing.
Could be a zero day thing as well. It could be some kind of cyber attack. There's been a lot of rumblings about that at Davos.
Oh, yeah. And Iran after the pandemic. Brings down the power grid or bring. Oh, of course. Yeah.
You know, they have that Netflix show about that. I mean, they're always doing that kind of predictive programming. You think about there is a show on Netflix, Zero Day, and then there is another show, Leave It All Behind. And they're both kind of predictive programming these scenarios where it's either a nuclear conflict or it's some kind of advanced cyber attack. But I think that has been at the front of my mind or back of my mind ever since October 7th, that they're going to need another 9/11, a new Pearl Harbor, a new Pearl Harbor.
What do we do to stop it? I guess we're doing it right now.
I don't think there's anything. I think if they're going to do something like that, they'll try to find a way to neutralize us first, algorithmically and on social media. And if that doesn't work, jail, assassination, whatever, discrediting the Cass Sunstein option. But I think they're going to try to neutralize us if they go that route.
We're big boys. All the other stuff's failed.
Right. It's true. That being said, I think that they also don't want to create martyrs. I think they saw what happened with Charlie Kirk. And, you know, then that turned it its own thing. I mean, that got a little weird for a little while. But I do think that, look, if something like that happens, it's going to be pretty obvious. The public's going to be an open revolt. I don't know that you can necessarily do a 9/11 because we have the internet now and the trust in the institutions is so low.
No, I agree. Something. A cyber attack or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's possible. I'm only saying that, you know, for them to pull something like that off, they're going to need credibility as well. And that's not going to work if, like, you, me, Tucker, Candace, all the big names are saying, nah, that was fake. That was an Israeli op. It's not going to work if we're all still standing. So it's going to there's going to need to be something.
Attack bringing down the web. And oh, don't worry, it's going to come back in a few months. That would be the perfect time.
Right. Disorganize, disorient everybody. Maybe that's the play to war game it out. But I would not put it past them even for a second. And look, they did it with the pagers. The pager attack, that should have been the biggest red flag that is what they're capable of. And that's how they operate.
Stuxnet?
Stuxnet virus. Yeah, exactly. In Iran.
We got one more segment left. I've asked a lot of questions here. I got some other ones I want to get to. And something Candace Owens just did, this Hunter Biden thing, the new club south. But what else is on your radar when we come back? What else do you want to tell people, Nick Fuentes?
Well, we can talk about 2026 and the midterm elections. We could talk about Democrats and Republicans. We hit Thomas Massey. Trying to think. It's been a little bit slow. For me, the two big things on my radar are just Iran, Thomas Massey, midterm elections. We could talk a little bit
are
about
the... Are you saying
the,
it's a slow news day? My God, it's a total... But what I'm saying is, do you agree? I have a feeling, and by that I mean, there's so much evidence, they put so much into this, I don't see how they don't steal it or do something. You think Massey loses tonight?
Honestly, I don't know. I mean, when it comes to these primaries, you don't get very reliable polling. I think it's a 50-50. I know the odds say 60-40. I really think it's a coin toss.
But if they aren't able to steal it from him, I mean, he looked at that like, I think they're going to kill him.
It's possible. I mean, it's certainly, but then again, like I said, then they make another martyr. I don't know that they want to necessarily do that because then that just raises his profile, but I would not put anything past them. So I'm a little conservative when it comes to predicting whether someone's going to get killed. I think that's pretty drastic.
But I'm just saying, look at the climate we're in, though. You have the Israeli defense minister saying they've declared war on Europe.
That being said, that's a lot of rhetoric, I think.
He says it's not an idle threat. Just watch.
But, I mean, that's true. They're a little fanatical over there. But, I mean, that would be pretty dramatic because he's also a sitting congressman. So it's not like he's just a candidate. That's a sitting congressman. They're going to take him out after they spent $20 million trying to unseat him. That'd be a pretty dramatic overt operation. But then again, so was Epstein taking him out. Sometimes they like to send that message. Sometimes they like to do something. And you know they did it. And they know, you know.
It's a message to everybody. That's the point.
Right. Yeah. So I think you're right. You can't put it past him 100%. But
oh my God,
I think this other guy's going
to
win anyway.
I wish I didn't have to be part of this. This is so insane. It doesn't end well for anybody. We'll talk about ways to de-escalate this and get all the other issues with Nick Fuentes. The midterm's coming up in 6 months and more. Nick J. Fuentes on Rumble. Be sure and follow him there in his America First movement. And we'll be right back. Stay with us.